Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm John Ramos, and we're so excited to be here to encourage you. We're excited about our viewers on the Gulf Coast, Christian Television Network. We're excited about being invited into your homes every day, Monday through Friday, at least from 5 to 6. And it's been a wonderful time and great encouragement. We also want to welcome all of those that are listening on VFN Radio across the nation and in the world. We love you, hear from you. Your posts, your comments on social media are very, very encouraging. And it's us together. I want to here in the studio to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. And Steve Kalaszewski.
Hello.
Man, there he goes, I just like saying that. Kalis, there he goes again. Can't see, switch it up. Can't give us the good day.
Gives
us
good the day, help. Sir.
After good day. After you were told already by your fan crew, said
they my like fan
your,
crew.
You like they like your good day. They like your good day. They already told you that. My goodness. Well, we have so much to talk to you today and share with you. You know, one of the things we're going to be covering in today's program, just kind of gave you a quick little outline, is how Congress is encouraging many people in the country to give a digital shout out regarding In God We Trust. That is a motto of our nation, In God We Trust. It was President Eisenhower who declared that. And you're going to see basically, the caucus, this is a beautiful congressional caucus that comes to pray together, and you're going to hear a little bit about their vision and what they do, but they come together to pray. Doesn't matter what party you're from, and they actually pray about the bills that are going to come, you know, before them that they need to vote on. They pray for the country, and there's a movement now to basically say, hey, listen, In God We Trust. We don't want it scraped off of our monuments. We don't want it scraped off of anything else. Mm-hmm. We want to be a nation that puts our trust in God and God alone. And it's going to be very interesting to hear from them. I know Representative Miller is a part of that as well. And you want to encourage your local representative in your area, if you don't assume that they know about it, let them know, hey, be a part of it. You know, this is what's happening. You're going to know more about Room 219 and what happens there. Super, super encouraging. We're also going to be talking about the cost of abortion. You know, there's many things. There's a fallout for abortion that we talk about. We talk about how it hurts the heart of God, how this is a massive offense before the Lord, innocent bloodshed, 55 million plus babies have been murdered since Roe versus Wade. But there are other fallouts just because of the abortions and what has occurred. And we're going to be talking about that more in detail, because you're going to be really surprised to find out what else does that mean. I mean, we know the obvious, and we've talked about the obvious, but there are other things that are not so obvious and haven't been, and we're going to discuss that as well. We also have some abiding segments we're going to be sharing with you today, so stay part of today's program. It's going to be encouraging. It's going to help you in some areas of your life, and we're just honored to be here with you. We also want to encourage you to visit our sponsors. They help to make this possible, and I think about Old Time Remedies. I had the opportunity to visit with Teresa and Beth. Listen, if you're looking to looking for a herbal and holistic approach to healing, that's your place in Pensacola. They've got over 200 bulk herbs on the shelf. And you walk in there and feel healthy, the environment. I walked in there and just took a breath. I mean, they have all kinds of herbs in there. And I did get my honey, just, you know, local honey.
My wife's been there several times, actually.
Really?
Yeah, she really enjoys their herbal teas.
They've got everything there. Mm-hmm. Yes, and they care about it. They're believers. Mm. And they really, very informative. They even have workshops that you can attend. They'll even show you how to make certain, you know, ingredients for healing properties and all different types of stuff. Mm-hmm. So we want to encourage you. Visit our sponsors. We have so many of them. You can find them all at VFNTV.com. And go by and visit one today. Well, let's get right into it. Let's talk about what's happening in Congress and what's happening with the Congressional Prayer Caucus, because this is so cool. back in 1947. This is the prayer that they prayed, the chaplain in the House of Representatives. I thought this was so cool. He said, "Teach us, O Lord, the discipline of patience, for we find that to wait is often harder than to work." Oh, yeah. Wow. "When we wait upon thee, we shall not be ashamed, but shall renew our strength. And may we be willing to stop our feverish activities and listen to what thou hast to say, that our prayers shall not be the sending of the night letters, but conversations with God. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen." This prayer wasn't prayed in a fellowship gathering, or this was prayed in Congress.
Mm-hmm. Wow!
This was prayed in Congress, and I like that. You know, this prayer is pretty powerful to me because oftentimes when you get a whole bunch of leaders together, mistakenly, you can think that it's all about what we can put into play, what kind of actions, put our heads together, and come up with something. But we don't need plans that originate in the heads of men, but we need plans that originate in the heart of God. And we need to seek God for his wisdom, for his direction, and what he wants to bring to pass. And so oftentimes that requires waiting. Oftentimes that requires time of prayer and talking to God. But it also includes listening and hearing what it is that he has to say. And sometimes that takes some time. You just got to hear and not be tempted to move in the flesh and start doing things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, part of what this group is about praying together as congressmen, congresswomen from all over the country so they can get a perspective on how they need to vote. And there's a big push right now. They're trying to promote a movement to restore the country's motto, "In God we trust." I mean, there's a lot of things that America has put their trust in. They put their trust in their power. We've put our trust in our wealth. We've put our trust in our intelligence, in our academia, our universities. We've put our trust in our military. But let me tell you that all of those areas have failed us when we haven't put our trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
And when we pull God out of every piece of fabric of our country, we can't, you know, our country is not going to stand. And so we need men, women, boys, girls, everyone in the nation to say, "Hey, listen, I want to turn my heart back to God." And I'm just really encouraged as I hear and see these congressional leaders doing this and wanting to continue that to spread more. I want you to see a little bit about what they're doing and be encouraged as you watch.
John Adams smelled freedom and liberty before almost anyone else in the country.
The same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe.
He could taste it. He knew what it was like.
The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God.
I'm losing my freedom and my liberty, and it's slipping right through my hand.
Without God, there is a coarsening of the society. And without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure.
John Adams would say, "No wonder it is. You put no trespassing signs at the door in the marketplace of ideas and saying in America, you don't have a place anymore for faith and religion and morality to even come in."
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
He said statesmen can plan and speculate about liberty, but it is only religion and faith and morality that can birth the principles that can secure freedom.
The anti-faith, anti-God groups, they are committed to removing God in America, and they have an agenda, and it's very specific.
I have a copy of the Declaration of Independence and the 56 signers of that document, and it contained two revolutionary propositions. The second proposition was that you and I had a certain set of rights. Those rights I simply loaned to government, who used them for me. But the first proposition, and this was even greater, was that those rights had been given to us by a creator, and that if they were given to us by a creator, they couldn't be taken away.
Why would they want to do that? Who wants to remove God from America? It's not the majority of Americans. It's just a handful of people, and why?
This big attack on faith across the country is designed to separate that creator from those rights. If they can convince us the creator never existed, he doesn't live, isn't true today, or if they can convince us that there's no nexus between that creator and the rights, but we can't talk about that nexus, they have won the argument that either the rights don't exist or that those rights were given to us by the state. If they were given to us by the state, then what the state has given to us, the state can take away.
It's the very things our founding fathers said we have to fight against every generation. We will have to fight for our freedom, because America can only stand if the majority of people are religious and good people who love freedom, who love liberty, and want to remain a free republic.
The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God.
The true source of power is not found in the halls of Congress or the chambers of the Supreme Court or the West Wing of the White House, but it's found in the power of prayer before the throne of God.
The Congressional Prayer Caucus is an official U.S. House caucus with over 100 members.
Prayer Caucus has been a great way to bring together members of Congress. We leave political labels at the door. We come together and let's just pray for wisdom.
Whether you are the furthest on the right or the furthest on the left, you're all of one size in that room before God.
There are members of Congress who understand that there are limitations to ourselves and limitations to government.
My mother, father raised me to believe in something that is greater than myself. When you come into those hard times, I mean, you have to have prayer, you have to have a conviction of spirit.
There's a very special fellowship that happens, even across the political divide, when men and women of faith come together.
The Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization, and we are designed for the purpose of working alongside our elected leaders that are spearheading a movement to literally change the direction, realign the direction of America.
If in fact we were a nation that was birthed on those Judeo-Christian principles, what was that moment in time when we ceased to so be? It wasn't when a small group of people succeeded in taking prayer out of our schools, or when they tried to cover up the word referencing God on the Washington Monument, or they tried to stop our veterans from having flag-folding ceremonies at their funerals on a voluntary basis because they mentioned God, or even when they tried in the new visitor center to change that national motto and to refuse to put "In God We Trust" in there. No, Mr. Speaker, it wasn't any of those times, because they can rip that word off of all of our buildings, and still those Judeo-Christian principles are so interwoven in a tapestry of freedom and liberty that to begin to unravel one is to unravel the other.
The movement is now. We have the momentum. We now have members of Congress, nearly 20 states who are on board and forming caucuses, hundreds of legislators that are now joining this movement. We have members of your city councils and your school boards that are standing together, that are forming a grassroots movement, that are saying, we're drawing a line in the sand. We're going to win, because this is what America was founded for.
We can get a letter signed, an amendment signed by 100 members of Congress within an hour. And we roll back that Washington Monument problem, and we made the Park Service reverse it. If you have a veteran that dies in your family, you have a right, once again, to have a flag-folding ceremony, even though it mentions God. The architect of the Capitol refused. Speaker Pelosi came out, backed the architect of the Capitol up, said he was exactly right. By Thursday, we had 2.5 million emails hitting Washington, and on Thursday, they backed off of that. Today, once again, you can have God on flag certificates across the country. And I said, I want you to take off the part that says our national motto is E Pluribus Unum. And they said, you mean you want us to actually pull it out of the stone? And I said, pull it out of the stone, because it's a lie. I said, we want "In God We Trust" engraved in stone. If you walk in the visitor center today, "In God We Trust" has been engraved in stone. I said,
said, we want the Pledge of Allegiance. We want the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag engraved in stone so you can't change it tomorrow when we leave. Today, the Pledge of Allegiance has been engraved in stone.
The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
More when we get right back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about this initiative, the Congressional Prayer Caucus, In God We Trust.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Regardless of your child's performance in the classroom, they need your love and support. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller, and here's Cynthia Tobias with a timely reminder.
Your children know that you love them. Do they know what you like about them? Do they know what you have actually focused on that says, this is a strength of yours. I understand that it's hard for you because it doesn't match this, but I love this part so much. I wonder, how can we use that to help you overcome what's frustrating you in class? Because I truly believe that the greatest compliment you can give your child or any human being is that of being understood and valued, and saying, knowing the creator and designer the way I do, he made an awesome person in you. How can we figure out how to get you where you need to be?
Hear more from Cynthia about making the school year a success on our 30-minute radio program on this station or at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survive in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better, be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, then you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology. And it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Steve and Pat. And we're talking about the Congressional Prayer Caucus in D.C., and pretty awesome because they want to make sure that we keep In God We Trust as the motto. It was originally stated as the country's motto by President Dwight Eisenhower, and you heard different things. I mean, It is so important because understand that we have rights, and these rights come from God. And what you continually see is the removal of separating God out from these rights. And if they can take God away and try to, you know, get that narrative completely mm-hmm. across there, then that means the rights that we do have, where do they come from then? Then they would say the rights come from the state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if the rights come from the state, then that means if the state gives the rights, I mean, the states can take away.
Yeah.
That's right. And it's not true. And so that's why you see this attack to try to get God off of everything, because it is, this is what our founding fathers knew, that listen, every person, that we have rights that were given to us by God himself. Mm-hmm. And so all of these things are very important. I love what Ronald Reagan said, is that if we ever fail as a nation under God, we're a nation that's gone under.
Mm-hmm.
We ever fail to be a nation under God, we are a nation gone under. You know, I was interested to hear about what President John F. Kennedy said. He said, rights of a man do not come from the generosity of the state, but they come from God.
Mm.
So you have a Republican president, you have a Democratic president. It doesn't matter. Listen, this is God. You know, we talked about this. I think Chris said it when we got together. He says he's a Christocrat, you know. And I agree with him. God's not left wing or right wing. He's for the whole bird. And as Americans, we need to be, you know, and as Christians, more importantly, we need to be about God, you know, bringing God back into the fabric of our country and honoring the Lord again. You know, oftentimes you hear the saying, God bless America. But at this point, we really need to say, America bless God.
Yeah.
You know, we need to turn our hearts back to the Lord if we want the blessing of God back on our nation. Then it's for us to turn. It's for us to align ourselves with God's ways, God's word, and his truth.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, we will see the blessing of God upon our nation. I mean, there was a period in time where our country is tremendously blessed, and we still have remnants of that blessing, but those are quickly fading away. And I believe it's because of where we've drifted and turned away from him. We want to continue to share that out of this prayer caucus, Room 219 emerged. Mm-hmm. And that was something that was basically founded by Congressman from Virginia, Randy Forbes. And he started to put this initiative together, and he was able to get a room, a Capitol Room 219, for strategic prayer, so that these congressmen and women can come together, they can convene before every session to pray for the country. This is strategic prayer. This is a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to watch firsthand as they discuss what they're a part of themselves and why it's important for members of Congress who are believers to be a part of Room 219. Watch this.
You know, if you look at Ezra and Nehemiah, they rebuilt the wall around Israel. We realized that it was important for members of Congress to come together and pray. And there was a room, 219, that was just off from the House floor. And we got that room so that we could go in there and pray for the country. As we cast our first votes, we then go in and literally get down on our knees and pray that God would restore our land.
If we have issue with how America's being run, we have the power to change it.
Prayer Caucus has been a great way to bring together members of Congress. We leave political labels at the door. We come together and let's just pray for wisdom.
Whether you're the furthest on the right or the furthest on the left, you're all of one size in that room before God.
We need to call the nation back to prayer.
It's our duty and responsibility to join together and unite.
But what we're absolutely united on is the need for us to restore America.
In the essentials, unity, and the non-essentials, liberty, and all things, charity. We've got to define what the essentials are that we can coalesce around and to say, you know what? We're going to stand firm with one another in prayer and seeing a deliverance here.
These are very difficult times in our country, difficult times in our world.
You're not going to find your solutions in man.
Even though life may throw us challenges, that we always have to remember that we put our trust in God.
If we fail in this country, it is a great danger to the whole world that's seeking to step into the light of freedom.
The problems that we have right now are not going to be solved on the floor of the House or the Senate.
Each one of us has to do our part to transform and change this culture.
I think God is really looking at us and saying, I need you. It's time for us to stand up and say, I'm ready to be those leaders.
As
we all move together, that we move together in step.
God is in charge, and that we are here to try to carry out His will.
For this nation to stay great,
we need for people to pray.
Help us. Fight for the country.
And pray for us here in Congress that we will continue to seek God's will.
As surely as your prayers are heard, they're felt in Washington, D.C.
Silence is consent.
This is a wake-up call for us.
We need this kind of revival of people turning back to God.
It's the only thing that's going to put us back on the right course.
We do have a history.
Our founding fathers, they pledged their life.
To them, that really meant something because they were literally signing their own death warrants.
What great cost was paid so that we could have this very precious thing called freedom.
We cannot do it on our own strength. We need the supernatural hand of God.
God can always take a small group of people committed to Him, and He can change the course of history with them.
The true source of power is not found in the halls of Congress or the chambers of the Supreme Court or the West Wing of the White House, but it's found in the power of prayer.
And so what we realized is not to build a physical wall around the country, but to build a spiritual prayer wall.
Awesome. A spiritual prayer wall. Wow. Rebuilding the walls of Nehemiah. Mm-hmm. And how awesome that it's happening in D.C. with congressmen and congresswomen. You saw representatives from Alabama, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Texas, Indiana, New mm-hmm. Jersey, Colorado, Arkansas, Minnesota, Florida. I mean, how beautiful is it to have a representation, which you see Congress, for every Congress member that represents 700,000 citizens. Mm-hmm. And so you have the nation being representative in prayer. And unlike what one of the congressmen said, that true source of power doesn't lie in Congress, doesn't lie in the judicial branch, not in the executive branch, but the true source of power is in prayer. Prayer changes everything. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts. For all of our listeners out there on VFN Radio, we love to hear from you. Thank you for liking us on Facebook. And we are just beginning to venture out. And it's like, what is this Twitter thing? You know, and we thank you for all the ones that are following us. And we're seeing you come in and just be patient with us. It takes a little while for us to figure out that kind of technology. But and also our Facebook, Facebook friends that are out there, and our Christian Television Network audience. Hello to the Gulf Coast, out there in the sandy beaches. It's real hot right now, I think, and
very
humid.
Hot.
But so if you have a sailboat, write to us, and I'll be some. I don't, what do you call that?
Visitation.
I'll be some ballast. You know, John and I both got to go because you got to sit on one side of the boat to ballast the boat.
Bounce the other side. There you go.
Pat wouldn't even put. He doesn't have.
He can't go. He's,
no.
Mm-mm.
So, but the beautiful sandy beaches. We are on the Gulf Coast every day now between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. And that's very strategic because it's down there in the Gulf Coast region. It is before your local news comes on. I think it comes on around 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And is an alternative to a, what is that, world news perspective? You can get both a viewpoint of what's taking place in the world to get a perspective on VFN TV and the daily radio program. So when you go into your local news and you want to hear, you know, what's taking place and it's a good local news in that area, that you have a perspective now. You have a perspective, and you can go to sleep that night having a godly perspective. At least we're trying to seek that you can have a word over your heart
that you can have peace and you can help people the next day at work. As a matter of fact, you can listen to us on the radio all day long. If you want to change the environment of your workplace, change the environment of your home, turn on VFN radio.
Yes.
Turn it on, download our app, go to VFNTV.com to find out all the different ways you can get us.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. Steve, talk to us. I know you, Lord gave you an abiding word you want to share with us about end times of crisis.
Absolutely.
What do we do?
Well, so oftentimes, you know, I think about... I see a lot of people, and I encounter a lot of people on a daily basis that are on vacation, they're on a long trip, and it's amazing how, of all the things that you kind of pack together, and it's like, everybody can kind of relate to those moments when they had a vacation in the past, and it's that one freak out moment when you realize that, oh, where's my phone? Oh my goodness, did you pack the phone? Did you grab your phone? Where's my phone? And it's like, everything gets put on halt at that one moment.
Now, that happened to me yesterday. I left my phone somewhere.
There you go.
That wasn't a good phone.
What you think about it, though, is at that one moment, it's like we can have a personal crisis. And I think about, like, you know, in one day, a whole life can focus on a day of celebration. I think about, like, a wedding. You have all these different parts. You got the DJ. You have the florist. You have the greeter. Or if they have those, you have the photographer. But you think about the bride and the groom, they focus on this day, and they're imagining perfection, right?
At least she is.
Somebody is. But what if something goes missing? What if somebody doesn't show up? What if the photographer isn't there? What if there's, you know, no tablecloths, or it's just like there's a crisis on their hands? And people are instantly realizing, like, okay, we can't go any further. This whole situation has to come to a halt. And I was reading about a very similar situation in John 2, and John chapter 2, and it's that there was a wedding that happened. And Jesus is with his disciples, right? And so often it's just like we can overlook something and not realize how important it is in that specific situation. And in that moment, they ran out of wine. There was no more wine. And Jesus' mother actually turns to Jesus and she says, they have no more wine. And obviously, Jesus' first response is, you know, why are you involving me? Well, Jesus' mother turns to his disciples and she says, just do whatever he says. But there was a response, and immediately Jesus says, go grab some jars. He says, fill the jars with water. So they fill them up. And it was in the response of that, and he says, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. The master of the banquet, he tastes the water, and he goes back, and they're responding. What was originally water, it became wine. And the master of the banquet is just celebrating, but the thing is, though, is that the master didn't know where it came from. Only the disciples knew, because they were there in the interchange between Jesus' mother and Jesus. And the master of the banquet calls one of the bridegrooms aside, and he says, you know, everybody brings out the choice wine first and the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but they save the best until now. But I think about that one specific encounter, is that there was such a crisis. There was such a significant change of things that had happened that people didn't know what to do. But somebody turned to Jesus and said, okay, we need... what do we do? There were people when you look at that, and it's just like I've prayed about this and looked at this so many times, and it's amazing how God will just take you deeper into his word. But when you look in that whole situation, you look around those who were with Jesus, you had people that knew his voice,
mm-hmm.
You had people that were walking with him, you had people that responded, and you look at those that brought his wine to those that didn't know Jesus. And when I was reading that, the Holy Spirit reminded me, it's just like when you look at Psalms 34, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about crisis. I know it was kind of humorous saying I lost my phone or where's the photographer. But for that one specific person who lost his phone, that was a crisis. Like, I know this is kind of a joke, but my life is on that phone. Or you look at somebody who is having a wedding, it's just like, yeah, this is funny, the photographer's not here, but this is a big day for them. This is a moment of celebration. And the reason what I'm saying this is that this whole situation had an answer, had a response, because there were people that responded to the voice of Jesus. And you think about where we are right now. I think about one of the past segments we were talking about, Room 219, the Prayer Caucus, Congress, talking about a grassroots movement that's arising and it's gaining ground. It's like in the state of America right now, we are in a crisis.
By far.
We are beyond, okay, things need to stop. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a line drawn in the sand. And what really is brought to my attention is that these disciples went out and responded to what Jesus said. They told others about Jesus. They said, okay, hey, this is what we need to do. And when you read in Romans, it says, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? And when you look at that, they responded. The disciples responded. And you got to connect that. You got to see the fact that the master of the banquet didn't have wine. He didn't know Jesus. But because of the people that did know Jesus connected the dots so that there were those that ended up knowing Jesus. And when you look at this, the master of the banquet said, you saved the best until now. You know, the many conversations that we've had, we've been talking about the Brownsville Revival. We've talked about Azusa Street. We've talked about the First Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening. But God says, I'm going to save the best until the last. Mm-hmm. And amidst the crises, amidst the happenings, amidst the devastations, we can look at that one moment and say, okay, we got a crisis on our hands. And then the question is, what do we do? What do we do? There's people that are around Jesus that know his voice, the church. There's people that are walking with Jesus, mm-hmm. the church. And there's got to be people that obey the voice of Jesus, just like the disciples did, because they have the wine. They know Jesus' voice. And by responding, there's going to be those that don't know Jesus who will. And when they taste his wine, like it says in Psalms, when they taste and see how good God is, they're going to be encouraged. And God even showed me and even took me even more of awareness, because like I said, right now we are in a crisis. And listening to in that past segment about Room 219, it just reminds me of, I believe it was the cave of Adullam, when David was in the cave. And but God was reminding him that he always had a remnant amidst all the darkness, amidst all the travesties. God had set aside a small number of people that still feared his name, still revered his name, still hungered and thirsted for righteousness. And it's like there are still a number of a remnant of a people in America that are crying out for Jesus and believing and understanding where we came from. And when you look back in the book of Haggai, in chapter 2, it talks about it. It says, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? When you look back and you think about Azusa Street, and you look back and you think about the First Great Awakening and Jonathan Edwards and just the miracles and just the awesome presence of the glory of God, and it says, how does it look to you now? And you look at the church right now, and it's just like, can we get an alarm or something here? I mean, can we get like a cup of caffeine? Like, we got to wake up. We got to see what's going on. And it says, does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel. He says, declares the Lord. He says, be strong. He says, be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you. And he talks about the fact that God sees this where we are right now. And the fact that we're in a crisis, the fact that we're proverbial right now, there's no wine. But the fact is that God is saving his best for the last. And you jump down to verse 9, he says, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. And you look at where we are in America, and it's like, where is the peace? It seems like there's so much contention. It's like we're divided on every topic, every subject, every front. There's division. There's strife. Mm. We're in a crisis right now.
Mm.
But those that are listening to the voice of the Lord, those that are walking with Jesus, when we respond to Jesus, obey what his word says, just like he said, is that when you live by his word, his ways, and his truth, God's about to pour out his wine. And the wine that's coming is greater than the wine of the former. And that is that moment. This is that day. This is that hour when we can respond as we're walking to Jesus, walking with Jesus, and watch him pour out his wine.
Mm.
Powerful.
Wow. Yeah, there is new wine coming. You know, in the last days, Joel 2:28, he will pour my spirit out on all flesh.
Yeah.
And that's what we're believing for. You know, oftentimes people think that they're in crisis, but it's like, oh, just live a little bit. That's not really a crisis. You know, mm-hmm. Live a little bit. But the nation at large, we are at critical mass. We're at a point where either we're going to seek God with everything we have, or we're going to exist really to be a nation. And we have a choice. That's the whole thing. We still have a choice. We still can respond. And I think that we are at that proverbial fork in the road. And America has to decide. And each individual, and you say America, it seems like people throw off the responsibility themselves and say, yeah, those Americans. No, you.
Yeah.
You, the individual citizen. You, the believer. You have to decide. What are you going to do? Are you going to step up and step in and say, I'm going to personally respond to Jesus Christ? I'm personally going to do something about it. I feel called a responsibility, not just for myself to know God, but I need to be able to tell somebody about him, because I don't want to go to heaven empty-handed. You know, when there's times of crisis, people can be either self-focused or they can be God-focused. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times crisis reveals what's on the inside of people. You know, crisis oftentimes, you know, people go into a mode where they're just trying to survive and try to take care of themselves.
Right.
But believe me, that at moments of crisis, you want to be walking with God, because when those crises come, you want to be able to share Jesus with all of those that are hurting and going through a difficult time. So we want to encourage you. Listen, God is going to pour out his spirit. You just want to be one that's fanning the flame of this fire that is coming. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
You know, Ben, I was just talking to my father, and he was, he and my has my sisters and I, we got them an iPad, and, you know, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now.
Oh,
my mother, yeah, she can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have to do a conference call or something, and bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV, and the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program, with their iPad.
Oh wow!
They have an iPad, and they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store and downloaded the application, because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad. We have an app for your iPhone, and we have an app for your Android. Mm-hmm. You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV, There you goes the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh, man, I missed that, you can go that. With the app, you could go back and look to the highlights of that day, and possibly that app, that particular highlight's right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio program Facebook. You can get to our the VFN TV blog right off your application. It has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are you know, sowing into this ministry and giving, that you can even give right there on your application.
Wow.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad. And all the moms and dads out there, listen, you can get. Speaking of that, hey, I am hungry this moment. I don't know what it is.
Well, don't forget, you found what you lost before. Don't just keep it going. Keep it going. You're doing good.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. I'm reminding you. You remind me.
Well, you know, I did. I had my my shake this morning.
Did you?
Yeah, I've kind of.
I love it.
I kind of. That's coffee.
Oh,
he mixes chocolate and coffee.
I can't tell the difference.
Oh my goodness.
No, the I went to a darker cocoa. I had this one cocoa. It's like a big. I remember my grandmother years ago, you know, she was cooking and she had this cocoa, you know, and as a kid, you're thinking, you know, Nestle's a mix or whatever you make chocolate milk with or something. Mm-hmm. There was a day you actually had to take the powder out of a can and put it in your milk and stir it. Now you just buy it already made up. Isn't that amazing? Right. Yeah. Anyway, so she had this cocoa and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, she's making a cake or something. And I'm looking over there and she's only like 4 foot something. And I'm like, man, that was like 4 foot of meanness, because she said she's sweet as she can be. She's sweet. She was a welder, by the way, in the ship during the war.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she helped build ships because the men were over fighting wars. So she was a welder during that time. And she, you know, she's small. And, you know, I mean, I've done this myself as an adult. But anyway, I said, oh, that looks so good. And so she gets a big tablespoon. It was probably a teaspoon. You probably got fit. It's a tablespoon, teaspoon, a spoon, whole heaping spoonful of cocoa, and puts it in my mouth. And I'm thinking, this is gonna be
great.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. I'm like, oh, this is dirt. Actually, my grandfather chewed snuff. I'm like, this is like snuff. This is terrible. I'm like gagging and throwing.
Yeah, you're coughing up.
You're coughing all this stuff up, and it's like, yes, exactly. And then she just looked at me, just kind of smiled, you know. I didn't realize at that time, that was evil.
Yeah, right.
And then she said, don't use wire hangers. No, she didn't. No, she didn't. She was sweet as she can be. Sweet as she can be.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Steve and Pat. And I read an article the other day, guys. I don't know if I might have mentioned this before, but I read an article and I read the title of it. And the title said something to the effect that says, Christian singer, I'm not going to name names here, says this sin. And I don't want to name the sin because it's not important to the context of what we're getting ready to talk about. But this Christian singer says that this quote unquote sin is basically condoned by God. And I go, oh, no. It's like, no. Where did this come from? You know, what is this? And, you know, it caused me to start thinking about some things, because today many people call themselves, you know, a Christian. And a lot of times there's apparently some sort of confusion of what exactly does that mean. And, you know, there's a Christian in theory or a Christian in reality, but we have to determine what does that mean, because to be a Christian means to be Christ-like. And it's so important. It's something that we talk about quite often, and that is, you know, discipleship and knowing to hear God's voice. Understand that Jesus' last words to the disciples, I mean, he lived, you know, on earth for 33 some odd years. He invested his life in ministry and setting everything up and restoring the kingdom and winning salvation for everyone. And the last things he says, his final last words, he says, go into all the world and preach the good news. Make disciples. Mm-hmm. make disciples. He didn't say go make converts, go pray with someone, but he said make disciples, followers, and learned ones. And today, I think we have a lot of people who have, you know, been a part of the church but haven't been a part of Jesus, if you will. They've accepted the church but haven't accepted the God of the church, if you will. And it's like, wait a minute, this is about Jesus and him alone. And when you think about a theory is a notion or a concept or an idea or a principle. Think about that, a concept, an idea, a notion. And when you think about today, there's a big difference between a virtual world and actual reality. I know that you know, on the television, you see all this virtual stuff, but it ain't real. It's not real. And the computer doesn't help all that much because there's a lot of people that are just living voyeuristically through other people, other programs, and they're not really getting involved in life. And so it's important. It's important to understand that God never called us to be a Christian in theory because we believe a certain principle or we can agree with certain things that the Bible says or because it makes sense to us. No, we actually receive Jesus in reality, not because we agree with certain principles. And today, you know, America and what's just happening in society, everyone's caught up in this virtual existence, social media, interaction, talking. You know, we're watching a movie dated back in the 80s, and a man receives a letter. And I thought, man, that's so funny. Who sends letters anymore? But you think about it, before email, before text, before the internet, if you really wanted to communicate with someone across the country or even in your own city, you either pick up the phone, you waited till you got to a phone because you didn't have a phone on you. You had to wait till you either got home or got to someone else's house or went to work and picked up the phone for a few minutes to call somebody because you weren't going to see that person all day till you got back from wherever you were going. Or you wrote a letter to someone and then you'd read it. But you think about today, you wonder, how does the post office still function? You know, when it says letters. But they read things. But now today, with social media, I mean, you can text somebody, you can call someone on the cell phone, and you can have these quick exchanges of information, but there's no reality in it. You know, it's just information, no context. It's just this kind of virtual existence. And I think a lot of times we see that folks approach a God in a way that they can have a relationship in theory, but not in reality. We got to understand that Jesus has called us to be disciples and to walk with him and to live with him and to have him affect every aspect of our lives. And if we settle on anything else but what Jesus said, it's a lie. It's a lie. And so for this quote unquote Christian singer, and it's not about her, but there's a lot of folks in this category that says, well, this is what I just believe and I call myself a Christian, and then blanketly say that God supports this sin or that sin, is like, well, wait a minute, what Bible are you reading? What's going on here? And are we really a Christian? And I think that's an important thing to discuss. What does it mean to be Christ-like? What does it mean to be a follower of the Lord? Does it mean you're going to live perfect? No. There's only one perfect person. It's Jesus. But it means that you live in a way that you aim to glorify God, that his values become your values, that his truth becomes now your truth. It means that you surrender yourself as King, boss, Lord, shot caller, and you say he's the shot caller. It means he calls all the shots. He's the boss. That I surrender what I think I might want to do to what he says to do. And it says that I want to put myself in a place to be connected with him. And John chapter 15 really is a beautiful story about being connected to the true vine. You know, the Bible says that the Father is the gardener, that Jesus is the vine, and as Christians, we are the branches. And a lot of times, you know, people say that they're a branch, but they're not connected to the vine. You know, you're no more a football player just because you put on a uniform. It's like, no, if you say you're a football player, we want to see some pads on you. We want to see you in the game. But wearing the jersey doesn't make you a football player. Are you in the game? And just because we say that we are doesn't mean we actually are in reality. And it's important. It's important to know that you are walking with God and that you have made him not just Savior, but the Lord of your life. And we had a chance to talk about this in discipleship at large. What it means that, hey, you know, today you have to have a testimony. A testimony is a definitive moment in your life where my life was like this before I met Jesus, and then something happened. My eyes were open, and then my life after I gave my life to Jesus is by far different than who I was before Jesus. See, that is a testimony of salvation. And if there's not a clear, definitive moment in your life where you said, I'm done with this way of living, this is sin, I'm not only, turning away, I'm done with this, and I am onto a new way of life. And this new way of life is living for his glory. That's the difference. When we don't know God, we're living for our own glory. We're just, if it feels good, if it seems good, if it makes sense to me, yeah, hey, that's good. If it pleases my own worldly, fleshly desires, then hey, sounds right. Unfortunately, that's not what God has for us. What God wants for us is to live for him.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to have that point of a definitive moment. We often talked about making California stop, confessions, which is barely saying, acknowledging that you've done anything wrong. But we need to talk about, we talk about a third great awakening and our need to repent and to turn back to God. But what does that really mean? Because we say a lot of words, but when you break that down, what does that mean? Well, the first thing, it means that we need to confess to God. We need to acknowledge and say, yep, it was me. I took the two cookies. I whatever it was, I did it. We have to acknowledge plainly. And once we acknowledge, then we have to ask God and we confess it. We got to ask him to forgive us. We have to ask him, God, would you forgive this sin?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people get stuck in between feeling sorrowful that they got in trouble, that they got caught or whatever it was, but they're just sorry. They're just sorry that God doesn't want you to be in a continual place of just confession and just, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? No, you got to come to the third part of this, and that's called repentance. It's actually turning away from the thing that the sin that's broken not only God's heart, but has affected you and has affected others. So we got to confess, we got to ask him for forgiveness, and then we got to turn away from that thing and say, God, I need you to empower me to live for you. These are some of the greatest days to be alive. Listen, God wants to use you and touch you and restore you and give you a life. But you got to understand, you have to evaluate yourself. The Bible says to examine ourselves to see if we're still in the faith. And we're going to ask ourselves, are we a Christian? We say we're a Christian in theory, or am I a Christian in reality? And the reason why we do that, we do a fruit check. We find out, is there any fruit in our lives that show us? I want to encourage you today that if you haven't made Jesus the Lord, the boss, the shot caller of your life, that you can do that today. You don't have to be one that theorizes about the things of God, but you can say, listen, I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to walk with him. I want to do great exploits. And I'm not content with having a theory or a principle, but I want to know him in reality. Make your decision today to make him the Lord in your life and to have a definitive moment where you said, hey, I'm done with that old way of living. I want to live for Jesus Christ. You can do it today. Go to meetmyfather.org and see some of our stories, how we came to the saving knowledge of Jesus. You can too. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.